Well, last Sunday we started a new series, and I've got to tell you, a big part of the inspiration for this series on forgiveness was kind of praying through, you know, what do we need this time of year, and what does God have for us, and coming into the holiday season, something I always hear every year are a lot about the tensions that people don't look forward to this time of year, coming into Thanksgiving and Christmas with all the celebrations. Yet amidst those celebrations is getting together with family, extended family, friends. That sometimes there's a lot of tension in those times, unresolved tension that we tend to dread, that we tend to not look forward to, that maybe even we tend to avoid some of the things going on because we don't want to deal with it. Because forgiveness is difficult. It's a huge challenge. And we don't know who we're going to run into, you know, and what kind of scenarios are going to come up over that, you know, holiday table, and who's going to gather around there, and the different combinations of personalities and all those things, and it's something we need to explore. Now, last Sunday was the warm, fuzzy part of the series, and it was great, and I hope you felt it. I hope you felt how gracious and eager. We talked about how God is eager to forgive. He can't help himself. Nobody's even asking him. He's throwing out forgiveness all over the place. We saw in a parable. We saw that he's eager to forgive because really what he wants out of us is not performance, but a relationship. And so he's so quick to gloss over much of the sin and mistakes to get to the heart. We saw that in another story, an encounter with Jesus. And if you weren't here last Sunday, and you get a chance, want to talk through those things or listen to it online or whatever, I hope you soak it up, because that's the first step in talking about forgiveness, is receiving from God. He's offering that grace, and it's easy, and it's free. And that was part 1A. We talked about how in this series, each step of the way is so closely tied together. It's not even 1, 2, 3. It's 1A, 1B, 1C. It's all part of one conversation. And so today we're looking at part 1B in this series. And this is the tough one, okay? Get ready. This is the one that pastors don't like to bring up because it's really hard. This doesn't sell. Let me put it that way. And so part 1A is great. Everyone loves to hear that. But because few things were this important to Jesus, he talks a lot about it, and he's got some very straightforward words about what forgiveness is all about and how it's very much not just a one-way street, and how he is so focused on not only cleansing our hearts and bringing us to a place of peace with him and with ourselves, but he wants that extended through our lives and our personalities into everyone we touch that we've been impacted by. And so, where do we start? And so, many of us, maybe grew up with, whether it was in parochial school or just wherever, or in church, you know, the Lord's Prayer, and whichever version you know. This one's a little middle of the road here. It's not the one with the hallowed, yeah, holy is your name. My buddy grew up in Catholic school. He thought all the way through high school that Jesus' name or God's name was Harold. Harold be your name. You know, and so until he actually read it one day. So, but Jesus, the context here is the disciples are asking Jesus, man, we see you with this amazing relationship with your Father. We'd like in on that. I mean, the prayers that we've been exposed to are the priests and the rabbis and a lot of singing, chanting, repetition. And this seemed, a little more personal that Jesus had with his Heavenly Father. And he asked, teach us to pray like that. And Jesus says, great. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And right in the middle there, something maybe we can tend to gloss over or skip by real fast is, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven. It's like this done deal. Forgive as we have forgiven. It's kind of this assumption that when we receive forgiveness, we've given that forgiveness away. And I don't know, you know, how that impacts you, but I want to read a few passages here. I want you to just kind of sit and absorb them. And I want to kind of try something I didn't really think I was going to do until a little bit ago that God sort of put it on my heart. Maybe it'll be a good thing for us. We'll see. Because Jesus talks a lot about this idea that forgiveness is not just something for us that we receive, but tied right on the heels of receiving God's forgiveness is offering that same forgiveness to those who have sinned against us. He says it again. Actually, he says this right after the prayer. He can tell by the looks, in my opinion, I think he just saw the looks on the faces of the disciples and had to follow up with this point. For if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I thought this was like some no strings, unconditional. What's this 1B stuff? I like 1A. I don't have to. I kind of want it all for myself. Have you ever go back, you know, talking about holidays and stuff? I see this in, I don't want to call it any names of my kids, but you know, where you see kids rapping. Have you ever seen this? Where, because this happens a lot when you've got kids and cousins and very sweet aunts that never want to cause any tensions around the kids. So everybody gets the same thing from aunt and uncle, whoever. And so, but the first kids opening their package, and, you know, they see, you know, whatever they get, and they think, hey, this is great. And then they see, you know, their sibling or their cousins opening the same thing. And it's like, what? They get that too? And there's this little, you know, it's like, I thought this was just for myself. And you can kind of get a little too caught up in that. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you stand praying, Jesus is saying, you know, those of you who are so good about being so consistent and coming and worshiping and doing all those things right, when you're doing that, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may. It's almost like his hands are a little tied here. I would love to forgive you. I'm waiting for you to experience the fullness of my forgiveness. But you won't until you offer forgiveness. You guys seeing how this 1A and 1B are so closely tied together? Gosh, look at this one. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. You know, say something about it. Don't just be passive-aggressive and not deal with it. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. I mean, so many times we're just like, I feel like God's just dealing with little kids with us. You know, it's like, but you did it again. Yeah, we'll say, it's like, but he did it again. Yeah, well, you need to forgive him. And God wants us to learn that because that's how he feels for us. He's never going to run out. He's never going to run out of patient forgiveness and grace for any of us. But he doesn't want to stop there. He wants us to be on board too. How does that... What do you guys think about that? Throw out some... I'd like to hear some thoughts on these passages. If there are any. Yes, Rich.
I'm a selfish person, so it's kind of hard because it makes me want the reward of like being forgiven, but sometimes I also appreciate and want to hold on to my stubbornness.
Yeah, very natural. I can identify with that too.
But it also seems fair.
But it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it seems like that really does seem like God, that he wants, he's not just... He's got more for us than just letting us have a feeling of, well, we got out of it, or we escaped, or we're off the hook. He's going for something deeper. What other, any other thoughts? Yeah.
I'm just left with a question about if in reading this we experience that there may be a condition, that forgiveness is conditional. That much of a jump to think about its conditional too.
And so, yeah, no, it's interesting. You know, how do we define, you know, is there a difference between love and forgiveness? When God's saying, I will never, you don't have to earn anything, but I want, this is part of the experience. This is part of the experience. And I love you too much. My love is too big and full for you to miss out on this. If you think you've experienced forgiveness, you haven't yet. Wait, don't go away. It's still unconditional. That love is still unconditional in that sense. It's maybe one way to think of it is forgiveness isn't yet complete until we've responded. Yeah, Warren, and then Lena.
Yeah, this is fun. I think it sounds like a way that he wants to keep connected to us too.
Uh huh.
You know, and also that it's a talk. Seven times in a day, if it's something you can just check off. Like,
right.
People are going to constantly hurt you, and you have to be worth
it. Not something necessarily we compartmentalize. And so, let's see, Warren, then Krista.
Okay, just to reiterate, Lena, to reiterate what Lena says, was that to me you were talking to Mike, and Mike was like, we talked about this a little bit during ping pong about the relationship.
See how deep those guys go?
You know, so the relationship and like how we want. What we want as parents for our children, we want them to succeed. We want them to be good at anything. Just be good at it. Here, keep trying. And they want to give up. But I don't want to forgive that guy. You know, it's hard. It's difficult. I relate to Rich a lot. I get selfish. And, you know, then the Lord, you know, he says, you know, look, I love you no matter what, but can you at least try? I'll help you. You know, he'll walk with me through it. He'll help me get better at forgiving. And just like Jesus, I think, you know, when Jesus was up here on the cross and says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And I see that sometimes when I look around and just, I get lost in all the turmoil that's going on, whether it's, you know, now or in the past or future. You see something and it's like, wow, you know. And it's like, you want to become emotional or get inclined in it and just go step back. All of us, Father.
Yep.
We don't know what the heck we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So he wants to have that relationship to help us get better and stronger and succeed.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Yes.
I always feel like that
maybe you haven't received that unconditional love because of your lack of response to it, or incomplete response. That's very helpful. Colleen.
One of the things I've
we'll
understood
back in.
About forgiveness was if someone wrongs you, they then go on their merry way, kind of thing. But if you hold that and can't forgive that, that unforgiveness opens up your heart to bitterness and anger, and it holds in, and you just can't live within a loving relationship while you're holding on to bitterness and anger. So being unforgiving is not about the other person. Mm. It's totally about getting out from underneath that.
And it makes sense that God's love would want that for us.
Yes, would want to be able to fill 100% of yourself with His love and not there being room for bitterness and anger.
Sorry, Annalisa.
No, it was kind of like someone was talking about like wanting to get off the hook, and I'm like the opposite because I tend to not forgive myself or accept God's forgiveness. That's really hard for me, but I feel like the practice of accepting it over and over helps me be more gracious. It's just more and more. It's easier for me to understand all of our weakness, including myself, that I'm not perfect by forgiving.
I agree. There is a healing. Once you forgive, you have experienced a healing within you, within your soul, and you feel gratified because you have forgiven another person around you. So you are healed.
Right.
And that is a great feeling.
So something we've learned through all this is there's something special about God's love that doesn't stop at simply forgiving us, but insists that we continue in following His lead, His example. He props us up. He enables us to do something even more with that in bringing it to others. And it's incomplete. He can't complete the work that He wants to do in us if we stop it, if we refuse to let His full love take place and flow out from us to those who we're called to forgive. Well, this will help make some more sense out of some more of these passages, because I'm telling you, Jesus talks so much about this. You know, with the context here is they're kind of working through some of the things that Jesus said, and Peter comes to Him and asks, "Well, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" And this is a separate occasion than the last time. Up to 7 times? And He's trying to impress Jesus. You know, it's like, up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times. Don't put a number on it, but 70 times 7. You know, and my math brain goes, okay, good, I got a number. Yeah, I got that. I got 490. All right, and I'm keeping track, you know. And so I love this. You know, but that's not what God's after. And so, you know, it's one more occasion where Jesus is using that rabbinical hyperbole, that style of teaching that was very popular in His day, of drawing extremes to make a point. In fact, the contemporary rabbinical teaching on forgiveness was that a man only needed to forgive another person's transgression up to 3 times. It's kind of the original 3 strikes, you're out. Okay, hey pal, I, you know, 3 times and I, you know, I'm released from dealing with you. If a man, here's the blurb from one of those collections. If a man transgresses 1 time, forgive him. If a man transgresses 2 times, forgive him. If a man transgresses 3 times, forgive him. It's almost sounding Monty Python. 4 times, no. 5 is right out. You know, it's like, if a man transgresses 4 times, do not forgive him. Okay, you don't have to do that. So 3 times, the elder said, was the limit for a good standing person in that faith. So on our first read, we might think that, you know, that seven is kind of limited, but Peter's statement of forgiving in his context, summing up to seven times, shouldn't be seen at all as a shallow limitation of forgiveness. In his context, he was trying to follow Jesus' example of grace through a figure of speech that indicated extending far more grace than was required. But it was like Jesus just pushed all, you know, it's like, you know, Peter's trying to raise the ante on you know, the forgiveness of his day. And then Jesus, it's just like he pushed all the chips to the middle of the table and he said, no, there's no limit. God will never put a limit on his grace for you. So likewise, never should you put a number on anyone's grace. Okay, so I'm trying to gear you guys up for something pretty intense here. Okay, and so this is one of the parables I call a pulp parable, because Jesus in his day sometimes just needed to get people's attention. And just like, you know, some of those old pulp fiction stories, you know, it took a lot of, you know, some graphic illustrations to make sure people were listening and honing in. You know, I never noticed. Okay, so the beauty of this is, if you know the reference here, you can't be offended because you've already seen it. And so probably the only piece of people would be offended, you haven't seen it, so it's a wash. Okay. And so, but something I never noticed until I was reading an article, because this is symbolic of a kind of a redemption forgiveness story. I'm not going to go into the detail about it, but the name on the motorcycle was Grace, that he hops on and kind of experiences this freedom now of that he was under from before. Anyway, so that's all very much in, you know, kind of cryptic there. But my point is just trying to prepare, you know, for a pretty intense parable where Jesus is really going to drive this point home. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. So then in the Greek, it's that word talent that we've talked about a lot here. That just, it's like a year, it's each bag of gold was a year's wages. So 10 that he owed him. 10,000. So 10, I mean, so that's an incredible, yeah, for the average work, I mean, 10, it was out of reach. This is a debt that's just basically, this is like saying the national debt. I mean, this is out of reach. Oh, there, see, I threw a little something in for you guys. Okay, so from current events. I mean, so there's no way this is ever going to get paid off. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. They're basically going into indentured slavery. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Chump change. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." Same words. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. I almost don't want to read you the end. It gets, are you okay? It's scary. Okay, remember, these are parables, these are metaphors. Don't take them literally. What's the big idea? They're attention getters. Okay? Too many people try to wrap two specific theologies and doctrines around these parables. Jesus is going for a feeling that you're going to walk away with that's going to last. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Oh, I debated all week. Am I going to, like, I wanted to edit this parable for your tender ears. But we've talked enough about parables, and that it's very slippery to build technical doctrines and theologies around these emotional stories that Jesus was trying. I mean, have you ever tried to entertain a really, crowd of farmers and sheep ranchers and stuff? I mean, you gotta get a little R-rated. You gotta throw in a little violence and action and stuff just to get everybody's attention. And I gotta paint. You're gonna be, who knows what they're gonna be doing? And so these stories were dramatic. They were intended to be. Tarantino took some tips from Jesus' style. Make sure his audience, left and remembered and were ingrained with certain imageries to make sure that they felt the point. But that's all that Jesus is doing here. Is look what you've been given. How could you not let a little bit of that spill out into your life? And I love the way my hero C.S. Lewis puts it. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. So, it's powerful what God calls us to experience from His love, but then will not rest and be satisfied. It makes a huge point to try to make sure we never forget how big of a deal this is. He wants us to partner with Him in spreading this grace throughout the world because so many people need to feel it. And the first time they ever might feel forgiveness, especially someone that's hurt one of you, is going to be through you. And you have an awesome responsibility to carry out the love and grace of God in this world. And Jesus paints the imagery to make sure we always remember that responsibility. But let's talk a little bit about what to do with forgiveness. Let's define it a little bit. Let's talk about what it ain't, what it's not. You know, somebody that's hurt you, you don't have to... God's not saying you got to be best friends with this person. God's not even saying you have to be in any sort of a relationship with this person. And He's not saying this person is going to be free of any consequences that maybe need to be in place to have a healthy situation. Maybe those healthy boundaries need to stay in place because of certain personalities and tendencies and all those things. And so forgiveness isn't necessarily a form of reconciliation and relational bonding. Sometimes there's just too much water under the bridge. And that's okay. God isn't calling you to that. That can be a possibility, and maybe He wants that in certain contexts. But that isn't necessarily what forgiveness is. The best definition of forgiveness that I've ever come across, good pastor friend of mine, some of you guys might even know him, Pastor Steve Deal. He leads forgiveness ministries in the area. And I love his definition of forgiveness. We don't necessarily agree on all the fine points of the theologies of forgiveness, because there's many approaches to it. But I love how he puts it. I think this is not only biblical, but wise, and it's also simple and makes sense. But you've forgiven someone when you can get to a place where you can sincerely wish that person well. Because what happens a lot of times is we kind of maybe go through a rote kind of routine, okay, I'm supposed to forgive this person, all right, I forgive this person. But deep down inside, something comes up, you might hear that negatively impacted that person. Yes, You know, it's like that feels good. You haven't, you're not wishing that person well. Maybe you're secretly enjoying something, or you're holding back. You don't want good things in that life. You want to check that box so you can kind of get it over with, and you don't want to deal with it. But God wants to do something much more, something really miraculous in our hearts. Doesn't mean we've ever even got to talk to this person. Something could go out in the form of a letter, a simple, I forgive you, if that person even wants that. That person might not have even asked your forgiveness. That doesn't matter. God's calling you to forgive regardless. Something, you know, again, as you guys were sharing, it's something for us. It's for our heart that needs to be freed and made full and made lighter. So how do we get to that place of wishing someone well? And who knows who it is? Maybe it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody that's killed off your favorite fictional hero. I don't know. That's hurt you, that you are, that you're having trouble wishing well. I want you to take a second. And I want to ask you today to, you know, do a little spiritual inventory and just find one person. If there is that person, maybe there isn't, and that's wonderful. That is a great place to be. And I rejoice for you. Maybe there's a long list. Well, let's start with one. Let's just start with one. Somebody that is just, I can't, I just don't feel, I just don't want to feel anything good for this person. It's just too much hurt. Okay, if there's that feeling, that's the person. Okay, that's who God is calling you to kind of latch on to here. I think there's two prayers. And if you don't think the prayer works, you haven't given it a chance. But I think there's two prayers that come into play when we're trying to get to a place to get into the heart of God and let Him transform our hearts to match up with His. And the first one is for you. This is a prayer, and you can probably come up with one much better. This is a basic little prayer that helps us get into God's heart. And I want to pray this together here in a second. I just want to read it. Thank you for always being willing to forgive my mistakes and hurts that I cause others. Always. You're always there. You never run out. You're always there for me. And I can't seem to get a whole lot of traction without doing something to cause somebody some pain. And you never seem to run out. So please help me to offer that same grace to those who've hurt me. It's got to start there. Don't try to skip to prayer number two without this first prayer. Here's what the second prayer looks like. Lord, please bless. Yeah, maybe try to say it a little nicer than that. It's the best you can. With your loving presence today and in the future, for I care. Alright, there I did. What did Jesus, let's go back to that scary parable. Unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Alright, try it again. And you may not feel it, and that's okay, but you gotta try. Feelings will come later. Step into that as a step of faith. Provide, care for, and fulfill the needs of his or her soul. And you can get real specific if you know that maybe it's somebody you work with, and you know that a promotion at your work would just be an awesome thing for them. So maybe you're praying for that. Maybe you're praying for that person's marriage or one of their kids or something like that. But whatever it is, because you know what's going on with that person. You guys ready to try this? Can we try this a little bit as a group? Okay, let's do the first one. We got to kind of get ready. Okay, so pray with me. Lord, thank you for always being willing to forgive my mistakes and hurts that I cause others. Please help me to offer that same grace to those who have hurt me. Okay, that felt good out loud. So this one, take some time silently on your own and fill in the blank that God's calling you to fill in. Ouch! It's not easy. I'm on my third time and it's feeling better. Kind of purposely left an unresolved issue, unresolved until this moment for me, so I could just feel this right now. It's just amazing how God's heart and His grace opens up joy. Freedom when we let them. I hope that felt good for all of you who needed to pray that prayer. Warren, you were stealing my thunder a little bit earlier, my friend. But now I love it. I just want to reinforce what you were saying. Because Jesus just led by this example. He's being nailed to a cross, and all he can talk about, all that's crossing his mind, is, Father, don't hold this against anybody. I don't want them feeling any guilt or any consequences. I want only love and grace for these who are treating me like an enemy, yet I am not their enemy. I am their friend. Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. All the way to the last breath, all Jesus could think about was grace and forgiveness. I want to be like that so bad. I want to experience that kind of freedom where I could be in that kind of pain and yet so strong and so filled that I can offer anything to somebody else, especially forgiveness. Lord Jesus, once again, we cry out to be able to follow your example. And we're so grateful to be able to experience your grace. We're so humbled. Lord, help us, as your disciples exclaimed, increase our faith to bring your grace to those in our lives that just don't seem like they deserve it. But then I know I didn't deserve it, and I don't deserve it, yet you keep pouring it on me. Okay, I will give it a chance. I will step into your way of living, this kingdom that calls me to enter in and live a whole new approach to life. Help me to experience that kind of joy and that kind of freedom that you want for me. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you that as we come to your table now, we're just even more reminded of the grace that your life and death and life just screams out for us to enjoy and to perpetuate into every corner of our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, you're invited, as you are every Sunday, to the Lord's table to experience and remember and celebrate that incredible grace, and also to pray with our prayer team in the back. We would love to pray for you. Why don't we stand, and what else would we sing right now?